Thank you, Wes Tuttle. That was beautiful. Okay, let's. We got several different things. I want two different things I want to do tonight. And let's go into prayer, and then we will get into our studies of what we want to do. And there's the other page to my Bible. All right. Well, the lost page. The lost, the Mosaic Law was lost, but my page was lost. All right. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to orient ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and that He will guide us, guide our thoughts, guide our understanding and seeing what's going on in the passages that we have to look, going to look at tonight. Let's pray. Father, we praise You for the God that You are. We praise You, Father, that out of Your love, You give us warnings in the Bible, all through the Bible. You warn us before things happen. And that's the kind of God You are. And if we heed Your warnings, then escape disaster and things that might have happened had we not heeded Your warnings. Pray tonight, Heavenly Father, Your Spirit will guide us in our study. Lead us into things that You would have us to see and understand. Father, pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I went to Kinko's and just made a couple of these, not a whole lot. I hope I made enough for the number that are going to be here. You gave those away. I was going to do that. There you go. And you got that. There's your one. And if you'll hand this behind you, Jim, or one of you. And there's you. Ha, good. I came out with enough. Okay. Now, don't look at them yet for a moment. We'll deal with that sheet in just a second. First thing I'd like you to do is turn in the Bible to Numbers 26 with me. Just going to do a little run of some pertinent passages, and then we'll come to this handout. What we're going to do tonight, billions of dollars are going to be passed out and dealt with in bonafide ways and not so bonafide ways in dealing with the storm that hit the southern coast. The press and everybody made such a big deal out of New Orleans, but there were a lot of other cities that were just completely wiped out and devastated, but center of tension is on New Orleans. But billions of dollars will go, be passed now. Not only will billions of dollars be passed out, but all the press, all the attacks, all the political things, and it's just something that we can't pass by here, so going to do a little learning tonight and bounce off of what's happened in with Katrina and the south of the southern parts of the United States. And right now, the East Coast is being hit, the Carolinas. While we speak, they're being hit. So I want to deal a little bit with an article that I did get. I got so many dealing with Katrina in the mail, serious ones and funny ones. But this one was very good, well thought out, and I want to go over it with you because it has some spiritual application. I'm not all that concerned with the economic or with the practical or with the historical, but for us, the spiritual, and it just gives us time to reflect. Just like when 9-1-1 occurred, that following Sunday, we spent some time on dealing with what happens when a disaster hits. How do you react? What do you do? And we saw that how you live your daily life has a lot to do with how you're going to handle a disaster. And we ended up with studying the military concept of last command given. And the last command to us, be filled with the Spirit, and out of that will flow His love. And we spent some time on that issue in 9-1-1. Anything disastrous happens in your personal life or in your community, your state, And so tonight I just want to take a few minutes and let's see if we can extract some lessons from Katrina and the things that went on with that. And let's start with Numbers 26:10 and just read it together. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up. Now, what we're in is the Korah rebellion, if you remember. And swallowed them up along with Korah. When that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, so that they became a warning. In other words, God used them as a warning to the nation of Israel and to us, all believers, in respect to rebelling against divinely appointed authority and that type of principle. Let's look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Now, I'm not looking at every passage where warning is given. I looked at them all and spent a little time, but I just picked out a few that we can extract some things from and be referring back to in a few moments. All right, let's look at Psalm 2. Very important psalm. It deals with the reign of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, the reign of God's anointed. And let's look at verse 10. Now therefore, O kings, now the kings of the earth have gathered against God. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence. And we studied worship last night. Now, a couple of pertinent passages. Please look at Jeremiah for a pertinent passage. This is the kind you star. Jeremiah 6. In fact, all of the ones we have left are essential. Jeremiah chapter 6. And we're going to just read a couple of verses here. Jeremiah 6. And let's read 8 through 10. Jeremiah 6, 8 through 10. Be warned. This is the grace of God, people. It's the grace of God that He gives us a warning. Be warned, O Jerusalem, lest I be alienated from you. You walk away. You walk away from Him, you're alienated from Him. Lest I make you a desolation, a land not inhabited. Verse 9. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they will thoroughly glean as the vine, the remnant of Israel. Pass your hand again like a grape gatherer over the branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? One of the greatest problems with warnings, people, and we've seen this in the United States, people don't heed warnings. You're given warnings, and you don't pay attention. Behold, their ears are closed. And we've seen that throughout the South, not just in New Orleans. Warnings are given, and people don't do anything. God gives us warnings. I'm going to the spiritual. And many Christians don't pay any attention to the warnings. Behold, their ears are closed, and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord, that's the warning, has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it, and that's why they do not heed the warning. Look at Jeremiah 11. Jeremiah 11, verse 7. For I solemnly warned your fathers, there it is, I warned them, I solemnly warned them. The solemnly is the kind of thing where you just sit down, you get eyeball to eyeball with them, and I'm serious. This is going to happen. It's a warning. My grandfather knew how to give solemn warnings. They were very vivid. Okay, 11 verse 7. And for I solemnly warned your fathers in the day that I brought them up from the land of Egypt, even to this day, warning persistently, The warning keeps on going, saying, listen to my voice. And verse 8 really is, but they would not listen, but they did not obey. In other words, they did not listen or incline their ear, but walked each one in the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore I brought them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. They did not heed the warning. Now we have different people involved in the warning. Let's look at Ezekiel. A few pages beyond where you are now, you'll come to another major prophet, Ezekiel. And we want to start here in chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, right at the beginning of the book. Ezekiel 3. So you can write it down and then pay attention to the reading. We're going to read Ezekiel 3, 17 through 21. Ezekiel 3, beginning in verse 17. Son of man. Now, let's watch what's happening now. I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from it. Now, it is the pastor's responsibility as a communicator to warn and to give warning of not walking in the power of the Spirit. To give warning what happens when your prayer life starts to just dwindle down to nothing. When your attendance in Bible class isn't going to be anything big deal to you anymore, what's going to happen is God's no longer going to play a predominant role in your soul and therefore in your life, and darkness is going to overcome. That's His job. So let's take a look. Probably should have done this on Sunday morning. Just now thinking that way. All right, 17. Huh? All right, verse 17. Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. Verse 18. When I say to the wicked, those who do not walk by faith, you shall surely die, and you do not warn them. Now he's speaking to the watchman, the one is to warn. You shall surely die, and you do not warn him, or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live. In other words, if he pays attention, he may live. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity. So, he is not exonerated. He will die in that iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. So, if the pastor does not warn, does not do his job when it's given to him, then God says, I hold you responsible as a watchman. Verse 19, yet, if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, stops walking by faith in the Spirit, I place an obstacle before him. He shall die, since you have not warned him. He shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds, which he has done, shall not be remembered. Now, I'm not here to deal with the text, just flow with the idea that we're dealing with warning. But his blood I will require at your hand, because you didn't warn them. Verse 21. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. This is the great issue. Warning is given. Are you going to listen? Are you going to heed the warning? Or are you going to ignore it? And you have delivered yourself. Please turn with me to one more passage, Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. We're going to read a little bit here. If you want to write it down, we're going to read Ezekiel 33, 3 through 9. Okay. Well, we'll start at 2. Start at one, my goodness. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, that's verse one. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people, and say to them, If I bring a sword upon a land, and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman. Okay, there's the one that's supposed to watch. And he sees the sword coming upon the land, and he blows on the trumpet and warns the people. Then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, does not heed the warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. He heard the warning. But he did not take heed, did not take the warning. His blood will be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his own life. He would have saved his spared his own life. These people, many of these people warned in the South. Some took heed of it right away. Multitudes did not. What we want to do today in America, we want to say, oh, it's the government's fault that they died. No, read the Bible. The warnings were given. That's what I'm going to go over in a few minutes with you. The warnings were given. They did not heed it. But we're not going to deal with truth in America anymore because we've moved away from God. You move away from God, you move away from absolutes. You move away from absolutes, and you always look for scapegoats, and you always look for other types of things. You no longer think soundly. Verse 6, but the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet. Pastor sees, studies the scriptures, and does not warn his people about what happens in their life if they miss Bible class, if it's not important to them, their prayer life, walking in the Spirit. These types of things that he knows they should be doing. So he does not blow the trumpet, and the people therefore are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them. He is taken away in his iniquity. He's not exonerated, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. But in this case, the pastor didn't do his job. Verse 7. Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel, so you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. So he's gone from the illustration of the military illustration of hearing the sword coming, seeing the sword coming, and sounding the trumpet. Okay, it's the same principle. I've given you a message, and you've got to deliver that message to spare them. Verse 8, when I say to the wicked, and he's going to say it through him, remember the wicked here, those who do not walk by faith. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man will die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require from your hand. Let me just stop for a moment. Well, we've got one more verse. But if, on your part, warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your life. Now, let's make some, first of all, current application of what's going on. Let's say, even though it wasn't his responsibility, but just to make the point, that the President of the United States had not called the Governor of Louisiana Saturday before anything ever happened, had not called the Mayor of New Orleans, and never did call them, then maybe some of the charges at least might be something we'd want to talk about. Should he have done that? That type of thing. But nobody is saying he did that. He exonerated himself, but nobody's saying that. And I'm so sorry that today in the Dallas Morning News headlines, front page headlines was, President Bush takes all the blame. That was so foolish. He's done his job. Now, with that in mind, those of you that are on the internet or on tapes, passed out a little article, and we're going to read through that so you don't have it in front of you, but you can follow through the reading. and I just want to go through some things and draw some conclusions, and then we can talk about it if you wish, or you can talk about it as we go through it. The subject is dealing with Du Toit. Does anybody know that, who that is? I don't know either. On Katrina, School of Hard Knocks. If people haven't been learning the lessons from Katrina that they absolutely need to learn, then they haven't been paying attention. And then the author starts going through one. On Friday evening, the National Weather Service predicted the path of the storm heading toward New Orleans. Friday evening. They got all their machine, all of their different things that they gauge all of this, look at it, and they predicted that it would go to New Orleans. By Saturday morning, it was clear that the storm was growing in strength, and it was suggested by the National Weather Service that people began evacuating. Point two, by Saturday afternoon, it was clear that Katrina was growing in strength. The mayor of New Orleans appeared on TV, weepy and sad, expressing concern about what could happen in New Orleans. But he gave no warning. He gave no warning. By the way, do you know where the mayor of New Orleans is right now? He moved to Dallas. Bought a home here. Got his kids in school here. Boy, he really cares about his hometown. Hope he doesn't run for mayor. He'll probably win. Yeah. Okay. But he gave no warning. Now, I wish this right here is where she needs to, whoever wrote this, needs to put in, the President of the United States called the governor of Louisiana and called the mayor Saturday. He's exonerated people. What more could he do? Point three, we come to Sunday now. Friday night, predicted. Saturday morning, suggested evacuation. Saturday afternoon, Katrina's going to hit. The mayor does nothing. Point three, still got time. Still got time! Sunday morning, it was obvious that the storm would hit as a Category 4 or 5. Four, on Sunday, the governor of Louisiana was crying and worried about the state and asked the rest of us to pray for Louisiana. Still, no warning, no evacuation, just crying and asking for prayer. Prayer is a wonderful thing, people, but sometimes you gotta act. God help me as I get out of here. That's your prayer. Point five. Sunday. Now we come all the way to Sunday. 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon, mandatory evacuation ordered. Ordered. So, the warning is there, the command to evacuate is there, and multitudes didn't do it. Now, let's look at what has happened so far, and what we know about the fact. One, 10% of New Orleans was below the poverty level. It would have been obvious, and was obvious, that these people had no means to leave the city themselves. Point two. Not a single hospital, faced with mandatory evacuation orders, was moved. Give the warning, but not heed the warning that you yourself have given. We've not heard of a single airlift of patients out of hospitals in the direct path of the storm moved to areas outside the impact zone. What does this tell us? No action, even after being warned. And we see what happened. Point three. Not a single school, public or charter bus left the city carrying people unable to find the means of leaving on their own. Point here, they had the means, but didn't carry through with it. Yes, sir.
They brought that up on Nightline, and the mayor, his response was, it was 1,200
Well, you use the number that you do have.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what I'm just...
Well, well, you use the number you have.
A kid, a young kid, stole one of those buses and loaded it up with people and drove it to Houston.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, 21-year-old. 21, he was young.
He heeded the warning.
Yes, he did.
He heeded the warning. Yeah. Yep. Okay, let's continue. What should happen now? And I love this input. So just interrupt. Yeah, that's what I thought she was going to say. And he was arrested.
Well, they didn't want to let him in Houston. They didn't want to let him in the Astrodome because he wasn't with the other buses.
What other buses?
The buses that they later
hired. Oh, later. Ah.
He wasn't authorized.
Did they finally let him in?
Yes.
Okay. People, you just, it's just amazing, bureaucratic people and the bureaucratic mind. They cannot think. Nope. They cannot think. Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, what should happen now? One, there are hundreds of buses and cars underwater in New Orleans and elsewhere in the regions. The mayor of Louisiana should be brought up on criminal negligent charges. But you see, this is what I'm saying in Ezekiel that we studied. If you don't give the warning, what did God say? I hold you accountable. Should be held accountable. Okay, point two. The people should understand that you never elect a sympathetic social worker type to public office, a union type person. If an individual hasn't served in the military or in an equivalent capacity of managing huge infrastructures and people, they have no business running a government. Union type people. They have that mentality, that mindset. They don't know how to do things outside of what way things ought to be done. Oh, we won't get into that. Yeah, he's a Yankee. Yeah. He's an Italian Yankee at that. All right, point three. Point three. The governor of Louisiana should be brought up on criminal negligent charges. She did not call up the National Guard. See, she didn't take her own warning. She did not call up the National Guard, order a single evacuation plan, or organize shelters until after the disaster hit. Now, he does some stuff I'm not going to read on the internet. But the point is he thinks she should be in jail. And again, we have the ideal of responsibility of the watchman. And in this case, we're dealing with a political, but in the spiritual realm, people, the same thing is true. But you didn't tell me about the Holy Spirit. You didn't tell me about what happens if you don't walk in the Spirit. You didn't tell me about these things. It's my responsibility. And to make that kind of deal. Otherwise, I'm held accountable. Okay. Third page. What people should have learned by now. When the government says leave, leave. When authority says leave, you leave.
We have to agree with all this.
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. And if they tell you a disaster or give you a warning that a disaster is coming, you better pay attention. They're not just fooling around, especially the various things like they have all these satellites and different things. It's coming. 3 days, and this now the person goes through, and this is very sound advice. You don't have to listen at all. I mean, agree with all. 3 days of water and food, a grab-and-go bag that contains clothing, toiletries, and cash to get you where you will be safe. If it takes you more than 15 minutes to evacuate, you're doing it wrong and are not sufficiently prepared. If you have more time, you should be able to evacuate with 3 weeks of supplies. So it's just common sense stuff that you have things ready. I know in the military, since we were so close and dealing with our, with the tanks that had to go straight to the border, if anything, we had to have our gear. It wasn't even 5 minutes. You just pick up your gear and you're in your tanks and vehicles and you're gone. I mean, you don't, that's it. So, and even in life, we should be prepared. Now, I do like the next point, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. Every person in your family over the age of about 12 should be trained in the use of firearms. People, this is a privilege of the United rights and privileges of the United States citizen, and we're not taking advantage of our citizenship. We have the citizenship rights and privileges of being trained and possessing firearms. If you live in an area that doesn't allow you to own firearms, I love this, move. You should have in your possessions a weapon for every member of the family. That includes among your 12-year-old daughter, because she, S-H-E, she may become separated from you and will need the means of defending herself. You must have an evacuation plan, not just run or everybody on their own. You must have an evacuation plan. Discuss with your family every possible need to evacuate. What conditions might require you to leave? Plan the routes that you'll take. A location to meet if you're separated. Let's talk about this. What would happen today that's so easy to understand? Terrorist activity. We live in Dallas. Terrorist activity. Riots. And, of course, fire. More local. Just meet somewhere. Every family should have that planned where you meet. Meet down at the local ice cream place if the fire breaks out. But have a place to meet. Yeah. Wow. Very good, yeah. And it says the reason, if you're in an area that you're going to have earthquakes or something that's common like that. See, that's the problem, like where we are, we just don't think about it. What can happen to us in Dallas is flat, it has no ocean, it has no sea, it has no river. With tornado, we could get a tornado, but we could get riots and terrorist activity that could just devastate this area. Yep. Yep. You can get the aftermath of it.
I had a hurricane, a tornado coming right toward my house, a Category 5.
In Wichita Falls.
Wichita Falls. In the last mile, it turned and veered off to the north.
Wow.
The most safest place to be was to stay in your home.
Yeah.
And not leave.
Not leave. Stay right there. Yeah.
More people died out, didn't it?
Getting out. Getting away. Yeah. And that's what you're using your sin. What should you be doing? And in that kind of deal, you stay. Well, I'm going to come to that at the end. There's certain things you want to get out. There's certain things you want to stay right there. I think I've told you the story in that same. What year was that?
79.
I heard the funniest story Buster Brown told me. Said a friend, neighbor right down the street was standing out there with his two boys, as I recall, little boys, and he saw it coming. He said, okay, y'all get into the tub. And they said, no, we went, go get in the tub. So they go, they're beating, they went in there. So he goes finally get in the tub, and he walks in, and they had drawn water and had no clothes on, never taken a bath. They thought he meant to take a bath, and he just busted in there laughing, and no. Yes, yeah. In fact, the back alley got ripped, didn't it? Behind the alley, yeah. Got ripped on it, yeah. And they had to get those, he had some kind of lantern lights that he was able to let the neighbors use and all this, yeah. So, being prepared and paying attention to the warnings. The next little paragraph. Do not leave your neighbor with an empty seat in your car. Do not leave your neighborhood with an empty seat in your car or truck. Make sure you have filled that seat with one of your neighbors. Be prepared to take care of yourself for at least 3 days. Now, the next few points are very important. Expect this. You're being warned. Expect it. It's historical. Expect civil unrest and looting. Just expect it. Don't get upset about it. It's going to happen. If you value your property more than the lives of your family, you will die. This is an historical fact. I repeat, if you value your property and your possessions more than your life or the life of your loved ones, you will die. In other words, you're going to stay there and defend your property from these looters and all this. No, it's time to get out if that's what it's called for at that time. Now, the next one to me is just so important. So important, because especially for Americans today, we're so used to the government taking care of us. The federal government is not going to be able to help you. As with all law enforcement matters and catastrophes, they only come to clean up. They are not going to help you until after the catastrophe has occurred. This is not a slam against the government. It's not a slam against your local police department. Your house gets robbed. Well, where were you? Well, what do you want them to do? Stand outside your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? They can't do that. They can't do it. That's not a slam. It's a fact. They cannot be everywhere at one time. There's not enough. So that's a very vital point. Quit belly aching. They didn't help. Now, I crossed out in this next one a couple of things, a phrase I didn't want in here, but if I hear one more person making a statement that begins with "the President of the United States should," I'm going to punch him in the nose. This is not a federal matter. There is no way that anyone is capable of doing anything for at least 3 days, more likely 3 weeks. Don't sit there and cry and wait on the government or wait on anybody. It isn't going to happen. The federal government is not the authority in charge here. The state and local governments are in charge. If the people you've been electing to protect and serve you in your local and state and are bureaucrats with no leadership, management, or disaster experience, knowing how to do nothing more than write welfare checks, you're seriously headed for trouble. Move.
That's why I took exception to the comment, when the government says leave, you leave, because they're so incompetent when they make a statement.
Well, I think what he was talking about, like they look up on these radar screens, the National Weather Bureau, and they see it, and it's going to be there. And when they say leave, you better leave, because it's coming. Now, in California, talking about that, one of the interesting things there, they have no warning. You just, all of a sudden, it starts shaking and the earth falls out. And at least in Texas, we get tornado warnings and that type of thing. But hurricanes and things, we get some kind of warning. But earthquakes, no warning. Just happens. Okay, we're near the end. Looters are anyone stepping outside of civilized behavior should be shot on sight.
All of them.
You're eradicating the pest. Society will be better off without them, and the neighborhoods and the decent people would be safer. I'm not going to read any more of that for the sake of the internet, because it's pretty tough the way he, and I agree with him, but that's not my point in going over this with you tonight. Now, bouncing to our study, next to last paragraph here, let's take a note. You have all only one ally in such a disaster. Now, this is from his perspective, so let's just read it. You are responsible for the health and safety of your family. People don't like that. See, we've been trained, the government will take care of you from the womb to the grave. Government will take care of your food. Government will take care of your education. Government will take care of your hospitalization. Government will take care of you. And that gets into a mindset. But when disaster hits people, the government's not there. And you better learn and think for yourself. You have only one ally in such a disaster. You. You are responsible for the health and safety of your family. The looters and the thugs of all the world will crawl from the cracks of society and will prey on you and your neighbors. This has happened in every single catastrophe. If you are not prepared for this, you will die in all likelihood.
But if you already left, it won't make any difference.
Won't make any difference. Not a single event of this catastrophe is a surprise, with the exception of the extent of the incompetence of the local leadership. You have been warned. Now, let's just talk about it in a few minutes. Warning. God gives us warnings. God gives us warnings what will happen inside of our own soul, first of all, if we do not walk by faith in the Spirit, do not grow in the understanding of Scripture. Gives us warnings of the absence of a prayer life, absence of studying the Scriptures. What's going to start happening to your soul? It becomes dark, and you move away from God. And then the second major thing I want to comment on is heeding the warning, which we studied in these passages we've read, like in Ezekiel. Heeding the warnings that are given in the Scriptures. Now, he talks about being prepared. And that's the Boy Scout motto, be prepared. And is to have the supplies, the firearms, have a plan, expect civil unrest, don't depend on others, the government or anyone else. Well, people, in the spiritual realm, you and I have to depend solely and totally on the leading of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you're not prepared. It's like being trusting the Spirit doesn't mean you don't have a lock on your door. But when the disaster comes and things hit, you go into prayer for wisdom and guidance. What's the wise route that we should take, and the wise plan, and all these kinds of things, and trust Him to lead. So we do have Him. But what is so important through history and the Bible is few people take heed to warnings. We just don't pay attention. I can relate this to so many things. Health. There are so many warnings. You start losing sleep. You don't get your sleep. You're too busy. You're too busy. You got too much to do. Well, I'll get by with a little sleep. And you can do that in your youth for a while. But then you keep trying to do that. A lot of people in America have a lot of problems with their body because they didn't heed warnings. This breaking down and that breaking down, and they don't heed the warning of it. And you start feeling bad here, and you start feeling bad there, and this starts out, and you don't pay attention to the physical warnings of the body. If you don't pay attention, it will eventually shut down. It will eventually break down. And you can sit there, no, I'll get by with it. It's just you're not going to. I mean, yeah, the government will take care of me. Your car, will give you warnings. And I like a car I can just drive, and then when it starts making a noise, that's when I take it in or something. But that's not good. You should be doing it before. But I'm saying that every area of life comes with warnings, and the wise person is one who heeds warnings. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your marriage? There are warning signs. We don't talk as much as we used to. That's a warning. Heed it. We don't laugh like we used to. We don't pray like we used to. We don't enjoy each other like we used to. Guess what? That marriage is headed for trouble, if not divorce. It's headed to be over. You've had the warnings. I know people in my 35 years in the ministry, oh, I don't know why she left me. I had no clue. And you start talking to them. Well, what about the, well, yeah, well, we ended up doing that. I was tired of this or that, or she was busy this or that. And I'm not surprised you didn't pay attention to the signs that were going on. You got to pay attention to each other, how they sound, how they look, the way they express themselves, lovemaking, kissing, just around the house, there's warning signs. Now, when she finally has to walk in with the iron skillet and hit you, you'll think you're beyond the warning. I think the disaster has come. But there are warning signs in marriages. There are warning signs with children. And I'm not into all of the psychology and everything, but they've done a very good job of just compiling a lot of facts. When you see your child making decent grades, A's or B's, just decent grades, and then all of a sudden the grades change, that's a warning. They always dress one way, and all of a sudden they're dressing another way. That's a warning. That's a flag. Pay attention to it. Things start happening in your life. Pay attention to it. In the spiritual realm. Friendships, church, so many areas of life. You've got to pay attention to the warnings. So I think a wonderful lesson that we can learn from what's happened in the United States is a wonderful thing we've read in these passages of being warned, and now you can either pay attention or not. And there's nothing the pastor can do. There's nothing the watchman can do but sound the trumpet and give the warning if people don't want to heed it. If people don't want to come to Bible class here, people, I'm just going to be frank. They got a nice group on Sunday morning. If they don't want to come on Tuesday night, there's nothing more than I can do. I have the class. I am well prepared. I study as if I were teaching 1,000, not just a few. And I tell them on Sunday every now and then they need to come. That's all I can do. I can give them the warning. I can give them the opportunity and the warning. If they don't pay attention, then there's nothing I can do. Sometimes I come here, and yes, I walk in. There's sometimes just four of us here or something like that. And a couple of times it was just Jim and I. And I said, well, Jim, you want the whole load? Or you just want to let's go sit down somewhere and talk? He's always out there to go sit down somewhere and talk. But, that affects me. I have to get up here and get my mind back into the Spirit. But see, I'm not responsible now. And I mean this seriously. I know I've studied. And I'm prepared. And I'm prepared whether there were just 2 or 2,000. Let's say I'm not prepared, don't give the warnings and all that, then I'm responsible. But if I do, then I'm not responsible. I'm responsible. He will call me in. You weren't prepared. You didn't do your job. You just slacked off. You didn't study. You didn't do this. You didn't have the message I wanted them to hear that night. Just if those that did come. So I've got to watch that. That's what I've got to watch. The watchman on the wall is not responsible for what happens to the people in the city. He's just there to blow that trumpet. And it's up to them to pay attention as to whether or not they're going to heed it. It's a way of teaching Scripture. It's my responsibility to teach it and to warn. It's not my job to go around everybody's house. I'll just be out every now and then. I think I'll go over and just talk to so-and-sos and people that come on Sunday that are kind of friends. What is it about Tuesday and Wednesday that you don't feel like you need to come and study Scripture with us and worship with us? But the Spirit has always shut me down on that. I would have done it if I felt led of the Spirit, because the thought came to my mind. But He's always just, nope. And I'm not copping out on it, because that was what my flesh wanted to do. I wanted maybe in the Spirit thought about it, but he said no. So I don't know what else to do. The warnings are given. And the same thing is true that we've seen here. Okay, any other comments about our reading and things that are going on in this respect? And there's not enough really time to get into Job, and I just get going, and then we'd close that down. So.
Where you were talking about the girls and having weapons. And
yes. 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 Where did I hear? It was Sunday afternoon. I was going to the gym, coming back, I guess, and I listened to 90 because of the video that they were doing the news. Some country has just incorporated, some smaller country has just incorporated that all young people are learning to shoot and be trained with weapons. I remember that. It was some little country, and they interviewed some of the people, and the young people were excited about it. They said, yeah, because all around them, there was chaos in countries, and so they were very happy to be able to know how to do this. It sounds weird. It sounds fanatical today because we've given up that freedom. Having guns and being around guns is part of our freedom. But people are so frightened by it. And now, and because, I don't have a gun, I want a gun, we've lost it. And you take those away, people, and that's the people ready to be enslaved. You take them away, and you're going to be enslaved.
Senator, or was a U.S. senator, they said that they might have to think about changing that law.
where the federal government can step in right away without even asking. And I think that's just, this is just another way for them to take away some more food.
Yeah, I like the law the way it is right now, because it could have been handled correctly. It could have been handled Saturday. No, we don't need to. Americans react. We love to react and blame people and change the laws and do all of that. You don't need to. It's all there to be done for the city of New Orleans, the state of Louisiana, and the federal government. Good.
Before he helped the people.
Oh.
He did it.
Before they got him out.
He said he wanted just to, his ruse was he wanted to go see how the people were doing. So he was somehow able to get one of these big plumbers or something like that so they could travel around to see how people. And they just ended up in his neighborhood. Oh, by the way, there's
Now, I wonder if he has the authority, though, to have called a National Guard. I thought that just the government could do, the governor could do that. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was just wondering if he had had the authority to send them out to other places, though. Okay. Very interesting. Okay, people, I hope this has been of some benefit. And the reading, get those passages, kind of go over them on being warned and heeding the warnings in our life. And I'm just so adamant spiritually. There's so many warnings in our spiritual life. Well, I don't like to come. I'm getting tired. Out of this, out of that, out of boring, da 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 da. What's going on in your soul? It's a warning. Your marriage. Your relationships with people. There are warnings, people. And if you don't heed them, you're headed for disaster. And one of my little areas, one of my pet interests in life, health. And people just don't pay attention to the warnings. Well, I wonder why I've gained 20 pounds. Well, I'm not going to worry about it. And then pretty soon you're 40 pounds. Well, when did this happen? Well, you were warned. Way back. Something's happening in your life. But we don't pay attention physically, spiritually, in our marriages and our relationships. We don't pay attention to the warnings. And warnings are given. My grandfather was good at them. And we knew he meant what he was saying. He left little warning signs for us. He had a razor strap that he left on our back door. We didn't live with it. We had a house on our back door. And boy, every time I open that back door to go do something, I'd look at that razor strap. I think I'll wait. I'll never forget just talking about it. I don't know why we got to close, but on Saturday morning, I'd be going somewhere I'm not supposed to go, down to the bio and stuff, and I'd open that and I'd look at that razor strap. Is it worth it? Yes, because I got all day. If I can be down there all day, it's worth the whipping at the end of the day. But we got to heed know the warnings. Heed the warnings. Let's close in prayer. Yes?
How many machine guns do we need to have in our home? In rounds? How about?
Well, a person should have, I'm not talking about machine guns, but weapons. Weapons. I think you ought to have a hand weapon and I think you ought to have a piece and a good rifle.
And a good shotgun.
Yeah. I think you should have that. And 1,000 rounds for each one. And know how to use it. Is 1,000 rounds about right, Jim? Yeah, that's right. You know, but carrying it, so if you got to carry it, 500 rounds is what I would be ready for two weapons. Two weapons. Those of you on tape and listening to this, we are decent people here. We are fun-loving, happy people. Maybe we can name this. We'll name this Rambo Bible Church. This is Rambo Bible Church. You're closing out. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father. What a gracious God you are. You give us warning. You give us warning. You give us ears to hear the warning. It's up to us to heed it. In our own personal lives, and then in dealing with economic or disasters in the community we live, spiritual health. So often, Heavenly Father, things happen, and it's just, we can't blame someone else. We're responsible. And what are we responsible of? Not listening to the Spirit warn us. Thank you tonight for your Spirit, who takes the Scriptures, instills them in our soul, and gives us the warnings. All through the church, the seven churches we studied in Revelation 2 and 3, so many of the churches were given the warnings. Some of them didn't listen, some did. So, Father, I pray that take tonight the passages we looked at in Jeremiah and Ezekiel especially. Let them bear fruit in our soul and in our lives and in our church. We pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.